Welcome. Thanks for tuning in.
Today we talk about why CX should focus less on CX.
Yes.
But first, to get to know you a little bit better,
yes.
One question. What's your favorite season and why?
My favorite season, well, I think it used to be summer because I like to, you know, lie in the sun on the beach doing nothing. And I know that most listeners will say, what? Zana doing nothing? That's impossible. But at the beach, it's very possible to just lie in the sun for the whole day. But then this year I was feeling, it tends to get hotter and hotter. So maybe I'm becoming more of a spring person than a summer person.
So today is your day because today it's spring in Holland.
Officially?
Yeah, officially.
See, I didn't even know that. Yeah. That's how spring-minded I am. I will make a note of that.
All right, let's go to our podcast subjects.
Yes.
Maybe start with tell a little bit about why we want to talk about this subject.
Yes, so one of the reasons why this title popped up in my head is that more and more, so I see a lot of CX professionals struggle with getting the rest of the organization to actually do something with CX,
mm-hmm.
right? To really move to execution. And what I tend to see is that CX is sort of too much in love with CX. So what I mean by that is that we're super excited with these beautiful insights that we got from research, or we have beautiful analysis from, I don't know, calls in the call center. But what they are failing to see is to connect with the, let's say, the world of the rest of the organization. And the rest of the organization might not be super energized by the goal of, hey, let's move our satisfaction from a 7.3 to a 7.8.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key change, this is also connected to my concern that I see that CX is it's becoming more and more important.
Yeah.
But I feel that the quality and the impact of CX is going down.
Mm-hmm.
So this gap is becoming wider. And I think one of the key issues here is that we really need to, I've said this in previous podcasts as well, we really need to focus on business impact.
Yeah.
So for me, I think each CX professional needs to go and talk with other departments and start completely not from CX, but just with the question, dear manager from the back office, what are your three business issues right now? What is keeping you awake at night? And then start from there. So you really make it super relevant for them. You're helping them. And as long as you have faith in, okay, but all the tools we have in our CX toolkit, I'm convinced personally that all the tools we have will add value to whatever business problem that we get.
Can you give one or two examples?
For example, right now, a lot of companies struggle with employees feeling that they have very high workload, which might not necessarily feel like a CX thing. Of mm-hmm. course, the consequences could be, you know, lesser quality of service because people are too busy. But just starting from that perspective, I think just having that conversation and then say, hey, but what if we map out the employee journey and we mirror the customer journey to see, hey, where are inefficiencies?
Yeah.
Or, hey, what if we start doing tiny habits too, because workload as such is never the issue. It's how I perceive the workload. Do I feel alone? Is my manager pushing for workload? Think about how can we use tiny habits to reduce the sense of workload or to be more aware of how the workload is impacting the experience of customers.
Yeah.
So I think all the things we have in our toolkit, even measuring with the statistics, how impactful is workload on employee engagement? What's the impact on, I don't know, the number of repeat calls we get? So for me, as long as you start with I tend to just start with an open conversation. So we have some ideas, we have some stuff in the toolkit, and then just sit down and just listen.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your number one issue? And then together sort of brainstorm, okay, this might be a solution. Do you get some energy even from thinking about a solution? And then take it from there.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
I think so.
All right. So we have some stuff that you see happening in organizations.
Yes.
We need a journey management tool.
Yes. So indeed, I made sort of this list for myself of what are the things I see and hear CX professionals do,
mm-hmm.
and sort of assumptions we have that are examples of what I mean when CX is focusing too much on CX.
Yeah.
So indeed, the first one I wrote down is, okay, we need a journey management tool. To me, that feels like the most recent hype, right? We need Deidu, we need Milky Map, it doesn't really matter which provider, but we need a tool. And then it's a mix of, because the dashboarding tends to be also graphically sexy, so I understand the energy around it. But for me, what I tend to see is several things. One is that they're drowning in the possibilities of those tools. And they lack first, a step before that, to think, okay, but how is this going to work? How are you going to work with journey teams? What does that, cooperation look like between departments? Maybe we should pilot one journey, start with the way of working, select the right metrics, and maybe somewhere along the line, we need a journey management tool.
Yeah, exactly.
But also here, I think you need to explain, even if you've done the pre-work and you are at the stage of finding a tool, I still think you need to explain, okay, but having a journey management tool is never a goal in itself.
No.
So what business value are we creating if we are able to manage all our journeys in a tool?
Yeah.
And I think there it becomes too much, okay, selecting a tool becomes the main goal.
Yeah. So also here, start with the problem. Which problem do you want to solve? And what you say, start small. So you don't need a tool to begin with. Yeah.
Start, for example, with one journey. And I think that's also a link to one of the other things I wrote down, is that I hear also more organizations saying, we need to map all the journeys.
Yeah, kaboom.
And they start mapping all the journeys, and it takes forever,
Yeah.
especially if you do like the qualitative, service design approach, which also, in my opinion, is in 80% of the cases too much, right? It takes too long. For that, maybe you might want to listen to the, I think we call it the basics of journey mapping,
Yep.
one of the first podcasts. Because also here, I sort of tend to push back and say, okay, it's not a goal in itself to have all your journeys mapped as such. I think two things. First, I think you need to make this list of, okay, but what journeys do we even have? I just make the list without having the details. I don't know. We have a journey of, I'm buying a new phone in a telco. I maybe order some internet plan. I change my, I don't know, I'm moving. So you just make the list without understanding, okay, but what does a journey look like? And then before you say, okay, let's start with mapping journey, I don't know, becoming a customer, you first force yourself to start collecting data to prioritize. So not based on, Department X is shouting the loudest that they want their journey mapped. No, we have some data behind it. Where I say, okay, for all those, let's say for all the, I don't know, 50 journeys we have, how many customers per year go through that journey?
Yeah.
How many, I don't know, calls do we get? Are we already measuring NPS or satisfaction, and what's the score? But also internal metrics, where do we have the biggest issue where it takes too long? Where do we have the biggest, I don't know, workload, for example? And only after you've done that exercise, then you have data to say, okay, from all the 50 journeys, it makes the most sense to start with this one, because that's where we have the data telling us that we have the biggest issue.
Yeah.
And not, okay, let's start mapping journeys and hope that the rest of the organization is willing to actually do something with it.
Yeah, good one.
Another one.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's a bit outdated, but it's also connected to the journey management tools, because I still see it. So I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago it was maybe the pre-journey management tool hype. That was, we need to have a survey tool, we need to have a dashboard, we need to have real-time CX insights.
Yeah.
And I still see, and like Qualtrics, Medallia are still focused on like direct feedback and the instant measurement stuff.
Yeah.
But also here, I tend to see a lot of issues, as you know, as you've heard previous podcasts, but two I want to highlight. So still to this day, I see a lot of companies that are measuring something. And for example, they're just taking a template from the survey in the survey tool. They start measuring that, and after a year, they sort of realize, okay, this is not giving me any insights.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm still sort of puzzled, because you don't need to have any statistics background to just look at that survey and already see, okay, I'm not sure if this is going to help me analyze the problem.
Yeah.
I think my gut feeling slash analysis is that the organization, let's say on the customer side, right? So I have the supplier as the survey tooling, then we have an organization that wants to enhance CX, that they too much lean and feel like lean on, sorry, and feel like the that survey tooling company is also sort of an expert in doing research. So if they've created a template, well, I'm sure that that template, you know, is a valuable way of measuring things. So for me, it surprises me a lot where I just then go and talk with customers, and they say, when I ask them, they themselves say, okay, but this is not really giving me insights. Okay, now why don't you just, you know, I think 80% of surveys is just placing yourself in the shoes of your customers and think, okay, what are the basic things that we need to fix? Well, like personal attention, the human side. Okay, it needs to be easy. Really, the basics is at least what you can start measuring. So continuously measurement without having surveys that actually give you insights is just, again, a tool that nobody's using. I think that's one side of the issue with continuously measuring. Of course, the continuous, the frequency is when you are in a call center and you get, I don't know, like two survey responses per employee per month. Maybe also not really relevant to do continuous analysis. But I also tend to advise, okay, if you want to improve, which of course we all want to do, and you already say, okay, let's make a smart choice of which journey we're going to improve, just sort of make a decision for yourself to say, okay, we're not going to measure anything that's not connected to a team or a person or somebody that's actually waiting for the insights to start improving with it. You see that also, I think, a lot in UX research, right? They're collecting huge amounts of data, and then nobody's doing actually something with the data. Okay, now stop the measurement, and maybe do, I don't know, once a month you deep dive on a page on a website, you turn it on, you improve, and then you change the survey. But again, think before measurement becomes your new goal. Think about
What's your end goal with the insights?
exactly what do you want to achieve, and is everything in place that when we start measuring, that there's something, somebody there that's actually going to do something. So I don't know, 1, 2, 3 months later, you can see, hey, indeed, we improved. Otherwise, it's just a data collection thing that is not going to help you get to execution power.
And you just connected it to this map all the journeys story because when you prioritize the journeys and you take one journey, you can also build a survey based on that journey, right?
So of course you could say, okay, I need to maybe have sort of a baseline measurement to see from the 20 journeys I have which one scores the worst. Then you could do a super high level measurement, but then again, you're making a very conscious choice. Okay, my first goal is to see what is the NPS or the satisfaction for each journey so I can prioritize. So then I don't need to know all the details of each journey. So always think of things. Also, when you're making surveys, I also tend to say, okay, because people like to put a lot of, hey, it might also be interesting to ask this survey. So I also challenge them, okay, if you're building a survey, just do one thing for each statement. Just think, okay, if I get an answer on that statement, what can I do with that? And if the answer is nothing, don't put the statement in a survey or the question or whatever you wanted to measure.
Not only because you're curious about the answer.
And also, again, it needs to be actionable, right? It's not just interesting data that then doesn't do anything.
All right. You have some more?
Let me see. I wrote down some more. One of the other assumptions I hear or questions I get is, okay, we need to have a CX strategy. And I think from previous podcasts, you might already know that I'm a bit critical about CX strategy, because just too often I've seen it not adding value or just being sort of this paper exercise, you know, where we create promises to customers and it becomes, and I'm making it a bit black and white, it becomes a nice poster on the wall. But then still, employees have sort of no idea, okay, what does it mean to me in my daily work? I think that's one risk, right? It becomes just a paper exercise, a one-time thing, and then it stops. And the other, maybe bigger issue is that for me, CX should not be a separate thing. So for me, CX strategy sort of insinuates that we have a company strategy and we have a CX strategy. And for me, again, here, the ideal world is we have a CX strategy. Sorry.
There you go.
That's a ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a strategy for the organization.
Yeah.
And then we're going to see, okay, how can CX enhance that, add value to it, make sure that we get to execution power of the strategy.
Yeah.
Instead of separating it again, oh, we also need a CX strategy next to the strategy we already have for the organization.
Yeah.
And for example, if the strategy is, and it's really connected for me also to the brand promise, if it's connected to, let's say, I don't know, making everything super easy for customers, then all the journeys, everything I'm doing also for the employees should look very different than when my strategy is about, I don't know, I want to be the most personal attention company in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it often there's a mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not translated. It stays strategy, it stays brand promise, but it's not translated to all the details to actually, again, make it into, you know, business impact, execution power, and really show the organization what the value is of translating and using CX as a tool,
yeah,
and not as a means to an end. Sorry, no, it's a means to an end. It's not a goal in itself.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about journey management tool, continuous measurement, map all the journeys and the strategy. If you have to tell the listeners where to start, do we start with the strategy or do we start somewhere else?
And you mean tell the listeners where they should stop? Or where they should stop doing first?
Yeah, stop doing first or start doing in the right way.
In that case, well, based on my story, you already know, I would definitely not advise to start with a CX strategy. And for me, that's also a bit linked to people saying we need a business case for CX.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think you need a business case. You need to speak the language of the organization and to get hard steerable insights. For example, when you're prioritizing, so you have an IT department or another department and they have, I don't know, there's a change in the law that makes that they cannot ignore that, right? It has to be live by January 1st.
Yeah.
So that's hard data. They have efficiency data. They have hard sales data. And then they have this fluffy thing called CX.
Yeah.
So that's not an equal prioritization tool. So also to have an equal conversation, you need to have this hard steerable data on CX as well. And my experience is that when companies ask for a business case, because CX professionals say, hey, I cannot convince the board is not really saying I need a business case because they're already convinced by the McKinsey's and everybody else. We have already so much proof. But they're actually saying the data that I have on CX is not yet for me good enough to prioritize it or to see what really the value is.
Yeah.
So then what we tend to see if we show the statistics, right, where you can say now we have hard data saying, hey, this will get you sales 5 times faster than, personal attention enhances sales 5 times faster than ease of doing things. Then you're getting to equal conversation about prioritization.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's lacking. So for me to answer your question, I think the starting point is always that one journey. Going back before that one business problem.
Yeah.
But I think check maybe which department you feel has a lot of energy, is really willing. So also make smart choices who you're going to ask to pilot this.
Yeah.
Talk to them. What is your key issue? Because I would say 99 out of 100 times, it's a really valuable tool to address that problem by mapping the journey in detail.
Yeah.
Both for customers and employees. But indeed, start with one department that's energized, that has a problem that's also relatively urgent, where you can address those different tools and then take it from there. Prove it works, measure, hey, indeed, the problem is now, you know, we have less calls, we have less workload. And that's how you create a pool strategy instead of you working really hard to convince the whole organization, yes, but CX is really valuable.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Do we have some more assumptions?
I think one of the other struggles I see, so we have, I think, two more left on our list. Mm-hmm. One is that we need CX ambassadors. And I think I agree partially. So with CX ambassadors, there are a few things. I wouldn't want to have a CX ambassador. So when we create, we have insights and then we create a lot of energy to ask employees, hey, do you want to be part of this, right? Do you want to test tiny habits to make an impact on customers?
Yeah.
So then we're never asking for CX ambassadors. We're asking for ambassadors that want to make a difference. And then we do like customer delight angels or fire starters or warriors or whatever, right? You create an energizing theme, but the theme is not CX. The theme is connected to whatever you want to improve.
Yeah.
So the other issue with ambassadors is that then, let's say there's an organization with 2,000 employees. They say, okay, we need to have 5 or 10 CX ambassadors. To mobilize 2,000 employees, that's not really a lot.
No.
And it also tends to get stuck in, so we have sort of on the staff team, like the marketing team or the CX team, we have ambassadors. While we say two things. One is that you want to have at least 10% of those 2,000 employees to say, I want to help improve. So that's 200 or more. And we tend to see that even more than 10%, right? Between 30 and 60% of employees say, hey, really cool, I want to be part of this.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that they are from the operations, right? From everywhere across the organization. And yeah, not preferably not from the CX department, because you really want that account manager, that, you know, that person that is actually making, I don't know, the invoices, design them smarter, the person answering the calls. They are the ones that need to do something with the insights.
Yeah. Nice.
One last but not least.
Last but not least.
And this is, and I think I wrote a blog about this like several years ago, is that we need a chief customer officer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm making it a bit black and white to make a point, but yes, maybe in the beginning you need to have a CX program. Maybe it's good to have an officer. But I think the sooner you get rid of the program, can get rid of this officer, the better. Because if you have a chief customer officer or related,
he's the one responsible for all the stuff, right? I don't have to do anything.
Exactly. He or she, let
or
us
she,
be.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly. So then everybody can point to this person and the team, the CX team. But, you know, CX, that's you guys, right? That's not us.
Yeah.
So indeed, the more that when you start working with your CX approach, the faster that you can connect CX to everything existing already or in the organization. Now, for me, that's the difference between a CX project and program and CX transformation.
Yeah.
And for me, and that's sort of also the final thought I wrote down when thinking about this podcast. In essence, CX transformation for me is a way where we say, okay, we want to put what matters to customers, what matters to employees, and the sense of purpose. And these three, every time we've done the research, they are beautifully connected, of course. So it's really easy. And then you say, okay, these three are the center of everything.
Yeah.
I want to put that back in the heart of the organization. And then all the projects we're doing, I don't know, we have a new CRM system. We are doing something with new trainings from HR. We are redesigning all our processes. That's all fine, but you make sure that all of them explain to all the employees how they are enhancing these three, how they're connected. And use the input from the three as design principles for each project that you're running.
Yeah.
And then, go ahead.
It sounds so simple.
I think it is, in essence. I think that it's literally what I wrote down in one of the slides I'm working on, where I was saying, so I Googled, I'm working on a presentation for a customer, and they were also looking for, we need to have the same language around CX. So I thought, let's have some fun. Let me Google definitions of customer experience, mm-hmm. because I already knew I don't want to use that, but I want to make a point.
Yeah.
So literally my slide is, I have some animation of like 4 or 5 different definitions. And then my statement is, forget a formal definition. CX is pretty simple. And then the next slide is this beautiful quote from Maya Angelou, where she says, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Yeah. Goosebumps.
That to me, right? If every person in the organization, each leader, each employee, if they are constantly thinking and aware of, okay, I'm going into this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I can decide right now how I want my team to feel. I'm a call center agent. I get like 200 times a day. I get the same question. But these are 200 different people that don't often call you. So you can decide as a mindset, okay, I'm not going to see this as, oh, the 200th time I get this super stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can choose right now, the next 2 minutes, I can decide that it matters how I make this person feel.
Yeah.
I think if that's sort of your basic view on CX, then you're doing transformation from purpose, employees, customers, and we can drop the mic.
I think this is a beautiful ending of our podcast.
I think so too.
Thanks. See you next time.
See you next time.